Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from the default location, default route. It's been 7 days since I've been out here after spending time at the undisclosed location. This time of the year, this time of the morning, this time of the day, the sun just happens to be directly in my eyes. And people walking around with their dog not on a leash. Probably not a dog person. Got nothing against dogs, just not a dog person. They're dogs. You know, the dogs that I happen to become closely acquainted with, you know, they became somewhat, I understand the appeal. How people want to make them sentient beings and give them higher status and treat them like part of the family. Treat them, and I guess I do. My daughter's dog, Kari, we be hanging out. There seems to be like a loyalty that has probably, that has definitely been bred into the dogs to make it appear like love and a loyalty. Over many evolutions and many years and many, many, many years, how we evolved and trained our dogs to respond in ways that basically makes it seem like they love us. Like, it's like we found the dogs that when you pet them, they really like it. So we bred those dogs and we made those dogs. We kind of try to breed that trait into the next dog till we domesticated them to the point they're called man's best friend. And I even heard an argument that since we domesticated them, of course this came from an ultra dog lover, person who has admittedly said many times that they like dogs better than they like people. That since we domesticated them, it's our responsibility to take care of them. Since now they can't survive without us. So that's an interesting argument. As is, I still remember it all these years. But, so I'm in there with Kari, and she, you know, she wore me down because for a long time I never gave her any food. Didn't want her to think I was the one. And it worked. And then as me and her start hanging out more, she'd like come in the room, sleep in my room, and do little stuff. You'd be hanging around. And, you know, just a good dog, just a very good dog. You know, it can be a little bit yappy and barky at some things. But, you know, for the most part, you know, tell her to go outside, go to the bathroom, she'll go. She'll also go in the house, too. At least she goes in the house at the same by the door, same place all the time if you don't let her out appropriately. But, you know, for the most part, yeah, I start giving her stuff, giving her food. So now she expects it from me. Every time I go in the kitchen or whatever, refrigerator, she'll look up, be looking at me. And it could be that I even get ham when I go to Sparkle when I get back there for her. I say it's for me. But, you know, she usually end up giving most of it to her. I get my ham spread now. When I get my ham spread, I get my few sandwiches. Kim usually finishes that off. And the ham, chip chop ham, not ham, sliced ham. Not chip chop, you know, like all thin and like in wavy, thin, you know, sheets. The way you can like make a pile. I ain't gonna try to explain chip chop ham. But, you know, Dogs are cool, but some people nowadays are at the point where they live in a bubble where everything around them is so dog-oriented that some people don't understand it. Everybody don't like dogs. And that's cool. It's not that I don't like dogs. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I do not like them. I'm just not enamored and in love with them as a lot of people are. And I get it. The pets, whatever, replaces companionship. It definitely does. There's no doubt about that. It stimulates companionship if you're lacking in it. And it's definitely a relationship. I can see the way I see people talking to their dogs and cats, carrying them around in strollers. You know, it's the whole thing. It's just like having a baby. And I get that nurturing aspect, especially in females. And I get it, that nurturing aspect. And I think that might be inherent in certain, predominantly in the female species. I don't want to say, if you know, I say overly predominantly enough to where you can say females are nurturers. Of course, not all of them are. Some of them are. I don't want to say those. Some of them are dykes. I don't know if we're allowed to say that word anymore. But, you know, some of them are masculine females who may have more of the traits of males in a female body and vice versa. A lot of males, not a lot, but there are males who have a lot of feminine qualities, where feminine and masculine can be applied, I think, to both genders. But I do believe the genders are binary. I mean, there may be a gray area. I'm sure there has to be a physical gray area for some people. There has to be a physical gray area for some people based on the biological parts. And then probably again, in the femininity and masculinity that we probably don't know how to measure yet. But the sex part could be, I'm leaning towards it being binary. It's either you're a male or a female. But obviously, that can easily get twisted to where, you know, birth defects or evolution to evolve, to be birthed in a way that's not custom, you know, that we're not traditional. But for the most part, I believe in, you know, it's binary, it's either yay or nay. But as far as the sex goes, but as far as the femininity and the gender, I don't know if gender means sex, one of those. Masculinity and femininity can be put on any sex. So you can have a feminine male, you can have a masculine female, but it's still male and female. Now, people who want to transition, you're still binary. You're still a male or a female, but you want to change, you can change and skew the line. So the question becomes, can somebody be born with equal parts female and equal parts male? The answer has to be yes. The answer has to be yes. Because basically, just about anything is possible, and or things happen. There's a gray area and a gradual line between point A and point B that I'm sure, point A being male, point B being female, it's not, you know, cut off point, but you probably could scientifically say if you have this many that, you're that. If you have this many chromosomes, that many chromosomes, or if you're born with this or born that. But I'm not even sure. It gets weird because Then what if I wonder if we can measure femininity and masculinity in a person, measure it actually. Is there any indication of scientific or physical or tangible representation or indication of femininity or masculinity? Because you can see, you know, I've seen babies, toddlers, male toddlers that, whoa, you know, he was born a man, a boy, a little boy, but you could tell. You could tell young, you know. I've seen that. Now, do I think they should go out and get sex change surgery or this or that? Probably not. At least not till they're an adult. Once you're an adult, you can do anything you want. But to be teaching that to the kids, I don't know. Like I said, I grew up in an era where you got your ass kicked if you was acting like a punk. There were societal pressures to keep you, you know, keep your gender aligned with your masculinity and your femininity. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm saying that's how it was. It made me what I'm used to. And then come out to California, and everything goes, and you actually live in an environment where everything goes. It's one thing to hear about it in Ohio. It's one thing to hear about them crazy California people in Ohio. It's another thing to be out here for a while and live it and be entrenched in it and actually see it up close to the point where it's just there and it's not startling anymore. And it's just part of it. It becomes part of the landscape. And you get used to it kind of that way. I guess used to it could be the word. Just a various sexual expression. The many ways and people, the ways and the why people express them express their gender outwardly or the gender they want to be. It's just, and that part of the open-minded thinking I've always liked about California. You know, as far as thinking goes, I believe everything goes. Think anything. Talk about think anything. Anything can happen, anything goes. But it can get out of hand when something or movement or whatever gets too much power and the pendulum swings and becomes overbearing and without even knowing it, you know, we're all like, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's just the way it is. You know, that's what we become accustomed to. And that's what we like learn to expect. And not even learn to expect. Almost what we, anything outside of that becomes threatening, not threatening or just, you know, just makes you feel weird. Anything outside of a thinking that you can settle in just becomes not intolerable, irksome maybe, or out of place. Because I guess, I don't know about all humans, but for me, seeing something that's out of place or doesn't fit, it doesn't quite trigger me. Trigger isn't the word, but, you know, I want to put it where it's supposed to be in my mind. To the point I might have ACDC or I might be whatever they call it. I might have ADHD or whatever. Cause it's just certain things work, certain places where certain things should go. That's just the way I look at it. The way I handle my life. And it works for me. Anyway, I only talk 14 minutes, I'm tired. Today's Wednesday. Today does feel like a hump day. Tomorrow's Thursday. I got a long couple weeks ahead of me. Looking forward to that. preparing for that. Not sure, you know. There'll be days off, I guess. There'll definitely be days off. Thanksgiving. In fact, I'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days off from Thanksgiving until December 2nd because I messed around and didn't get my flight. Didn't go ahead and purchase a flight. So I had to change my date because the price was just too crazy. It was too much. I was like, hell, I'll just stay an extra day. The way I got it set up now, I'm gonna stay an extra day and take a PTO day. Stay an extra day, take a PTO day, and then fly back. Won't get home. Won't land until like 1 o'clock in the morning. So I probably, it's gonna be a mess. It's gonna be, and I should take Tuesday off too, to be honest with you. I should take Tuesday off too. Now that I think about it, let's just be real. Because if my plane landed like 1, I won't get home and in bed until maybe like 4. And then I got to get up at about 9 unless I just push my steps till later. I don't know. There'll be a lot of time off, though. It'll be like a mini vacation. That would be something, huh? I got to see how I feel. I might do that. That'll be something to look forward to. Have all that time off. Let's see, I'll be off, but I'll be back in Ohio. So is that really off? Is that really off? But see, granddaughter, she leaves Sunday and doesn't come back till Tuesday. So I have Sunday. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how to play it. And I'll get it. I feel for it. But if I was to take Tuesday off, I got the PTO. I got it. But the main thing behind all that, is that my weight is down right now. There's a good chance that when I set foot in Ohio, my weight could be the lowest it's been this year. But we'll see. But I'm on track for that. But being back there for 2 weeks and then having Thanksgiving and then having those days off, it could get really, really touchy when it comes to putting that weight back on. But if I can fight it one day at a time, I just gotta take it, be there for a long time. I'm gonna be back there for the longest I've ever been. I'm already looking at thinking hotels. As soon as I get back there, I'm like, Kimberly, all right, how are we gonna work this? Because she got a lot of days off. And we both, you know, we appreciate other people. that should tell you what I'm saying. If I started off by going, we appreciate other people, that should let you know what direction I'm going with it. You know there's a but. So we'll see, because she might get a hotel room. where I get a hotel room, you know, just to get some separation. You know, especially, I know I need it. And she, you know, she knows she needs it too. So we'll see. And she got like a lot of days off. She got like a lot of days off. So we'll see. But it'll be fun kind of working it out. And she be like, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't mind, you know, getting her room. You know, she can go get a room and chill out, have her a day to herself or whatever. But she want to stay at the Doubletree, like the best hotel in Youngstown. Which, I stayed there a couple times because of the internet. I need, because I was working from there. I was back before I started staying at Kimberly's house. I would get a hotel every time I went back. When did that stop? I wonder if that stopped when granddaughter was born. I can't remember. But now it's just, you know, we got it all set up. I got my room and the whole procedure. Even granddaughter know the deal. When I come in with my bag and she be looking at me, then I grab my bag and go into the room. She go run into the room and jump in the chair. And she know I'm gonna set it up. Start setting this stuff up. She run in the room and get in the chair. I remember when I first would come, we had to pick her up with one hand. Now, shoot, I don't want to say I can barely pick her up. I don't want to say I can barely pick her up, but it's kind of, it's changing. It's changed. I remember going to my sister's house, her and her child come to the door, and she holding her child, and her child big as she is, her feet dragging on the floor. I was like, it was about that time somebody getting too big for that. Somebody getting too big for that. My daughter sent me a video of granddaughter, you know, playing that stand up Connect Four game. You got to drop to like check her things down. You got to make her Connect Four, but it's like, you know, about 3 or 4 feet high or whatever. Last time we was there, she couldn't reach it. This time she could. And my daughter got all, oh. Yep, it changes, they change. You better prepare them, you better get them ready. Because everything you do to them now, everything you do to them or for them, goes into the person they're going to be, or tends to lead them to that kind of person or whatever, influencing. And they become an adult, or not even an adult, a teen, or, you know, kindergarten or whatever, preteen and pre-adult and all that. That stuff becomes ingrained. They go through life. And, you know, regardless of the laws or whatever, regardless of the laws or how society looks at it, for the rest of your life, for the rest of their life, you are responsible for that. No matter what they say or how they say it or what the rules are or whatever, if there are any rules, you know, I don't believe there are any rules. You are responsible for that. That thing is going to come back to you as long as it lives. You are a part. You're tied together. No matter how you want to look at it. You're tied together. So that's good. Also want to get back there and check out grandson number one, who seems to be, I want to say, I'm going to say it's like he got, I'll be joking, he got like superpowers, because he was like, really young doing things that I thought wasn't supposed to be happening until later. Like smiling, lifting his head up. Now I guess he holding his bottle and he only like a month, 2 months old or something. So, you know, I want to get back there and get in with that one. Got to figure out how to do that with the current sibling rivalry going on between my kids. You ever notice, and I think I might have noticed this, that the kid who looks like the father acts like the mother. And the kid who looks like the father has tendencies in a disposition, so to speak, of the mother. I know my kids do. And I think I've seen it in other places. I'm sure it's not true across the board, but I wonder if it's a general tendency for that. Because I'm like, because Kimberly, my daughter, looked just like her mother. And they say, Jeffrey looks just like you. That's the main one. And he acts just like her. He got tendencies of her. And some people may even say it's gender. The daughter tends toward the father and the son and the mother. And there's no doubt about that mother-son thing, especially in the families I've seen, or maybe even black families or whatever. It may be cultural. But God, that mother-son thing, whoo, I think it's severe. It's severe. I'm not saying which way, how, or what. I'm just saying it's severe. It is severe. I've seen my ex-wife, my son's mother. Fuck. I don't know how my son's mother. I guess that's the way I gotta put it. It seemed different than that, though. So Jeffrey's mother. My son's, this is it. When I say my son's mother, that seems almost like baby daddy. It seems like it's more than that. The way them damn kids. The way I guess we naturally became over them damn kids. Which is probably based on the way my parents was over me and about me. Jeffrey damn near 40 years old. She still treated him like a little boy, you know, to a degree, to a degree. Not like a little boy, but you know, that's her tink tink man. And he know it, I mean, that's just a thing. And they even said, I'm that way. They said, I was a mama's boy. That's what they said. So I'm not putting it down, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying it's strong. I told people, there's nothing stronger than mother. Nothing in this universe I've seen is stronger than mother. Nothing. I've seen some spectacular, miraculous things. I've seen people who can't even read do calculus, so to speak, in situations to protect their kids and to save or rescue or whatever their kids when it came to their children. They turned into superheroes. Superpowers. And in my Darwinistic view of human beings in life, it's critical to have that. It fits right in. Fits right into the way I think things could have evolved, or did evolve, or should have evolved, fits right in. So happy Wednesday, hump day, office day. I love going into the Metropolitan. Got to get there early today. Drop off some frames and some glasses so they can put some lenses in them. I got free lenses from my optometrist. I was going cancel my vision coverage, but it's like $83 a year, and I think The eye exam is like $60 if I was to get it on my own. So I don't know how much I'm getting, you know, how much it's worth it, because I get my glasses online. Once I get the prescription, I ain't trying to buy glasses from them. Once I get that prescription, I send that to Zinni or whatever. I think I got the other one, some other glasses last time. A lot cheaper, like a third of the price. So I want to see if I can take that money I get for optical, for vision and insurance, and take it to Zinni. I guess I could submit the bill to the vision people, you know, from Zinni, the Zinni bill to my insurance. But then if they say, all right, you get one, maybe they should give you an allotment and say, hey, you got $200, you can spend any way you want. Or if they say, you get one pair of glasses up to $200. See, if it was that way, I still might go to Zinni and get the most expensive ones they got there, with all the lenses, lens fading and no line and progressive and all that. I probably can get two pair, probably, for the price that the optometrist pays charging. Because I don't need no brand name. I'm cool without a brand name. You know, just give me a style that fits my minimalistic need. Whew. Out here getting it in. That's why I'm out here early. Out here earlier than I usually get. It's only 8:54 right now. I'm damn near on my way back. Usually I don't even get out of bed until 6 minutes from now. I usually don't get out of bed until 9 o'clock. But I done walked over half my steps and on my way back. Whew. People need to get bails. Like they got in Amsterdam. Yeah. And one time, I was walking like with one of the bosses. And all of a sudden, we was like walking and we were talking about the bikes or something. We were talking about bikes. We was like walking out the building. And some bikes or something. I said, man, one time I was in Amsterdam. I was like, I ain't never seen so many bikes in my life. I was like, it's ridiculous. He's like, hey, did you know I'm from Amsterdam? I didn't even realize. His name was like Broer or something. He's a real cool dude, real cool. You know, real cool dude. He was like our boss. And now he ain't. I don't know why it would happen. But he was cool. Maybe he moved, you know, into bigger, better, or off to the side things. And I was like, yeah. Because in Amsterdam, I ain't never seen that many bikes. It was like piles of bikes. It was like thousands of bikes. And they use their ringers, and they be flying. Bikes over there have the right of way or something. It was just too many. I remember walking down and brought that up. I don't know what made me think, oh, because people ride, because over there, they use their ringers. And there's definitely a more, I don't want to use the word intelligent because it sounds demeaning if you flip it, but they use, it's a lot more, I guess, intelligent. They just use, you know, their bikers have more awareness and more protocol or whatever, you know. So other than that, we'll see. 50-degree, I turned the space heater on last night. I turned the damn space heater on last night in both rooms, but I didn't leave it on. I just cut it on to knock the chill off of the room. Then I turned it off. And I put the fan away. I put the big fan away in the living room. I'll probably put the fan in the bedroom away, which kind of bugs me because the remote control on that fan broke and I need me a remote control. I'm a remote control person. I ain't trying to get up and do nothing. And I don't want that fan on all night. And I just got remote controls everywhere. I got my remote controls, TV, whatever, fans, space heaters. Beep, beep. That's me. And they all go in certain positions. And then I guess after, without even knowing it, over the years, you find you've been going through the same procedure of swapping out the fans and the heaters and the remotes go in the same place. And the batteries, you put the batteries back in the hole. You know, after so much time, you just without even thinking, you turn around, you done did this for a decade. You done had this routine for a decade. Like, now I'm just rambling, but I changed the blades on my clippers. Now, I remember when I said, I'm going to get a good pair of clippers. Because you know, that's what I don't shave. I just use hair clippers, cut the hair off my face, whatever. So I said, I'm going to go to a good pair, spend some money, quote unquote, spend some money. I ain't spent no hundreds. But, you know, I'm getting better than the $15 clippers I had been getting. So I got a pair of walls. What's it called? Edge or blade? What's it called? It's called something. And they were like, supposed to be like really, you know, get down really, that balding. They get balding, I think they're called. Clippers, really good clippers. They're still good. I think I use them things, maybe it could probably over 10 years without changing the blades. Blades is rusty. You can see the blades is rusty. I still use them. I cut my hair. It was taking me like 10 minutes to cut my hair because it wasn't cutting right. And finally, I said, let me just buy a new set of, you know, after so many years, let me buy a new set of blades. And I didn't even get the good blades. I didn't even get the good wall brand blades. I got some cheap blades for like $9, $11. I didn't get the cheap ones. $9, I think I got the ones that was like $11. Whatever that means. I put them things on there. My God. I wasn't cutting myself up no more. I wasn't scraping my hair. My hair wasn't sore when I was done. And not only that, I'd get done cutting my hair in 2 minutes. Because it would just cut. And I would have to go over it and over and over. It would just actually cut the hair like it was supposed to. I was like, oh my God. And the blade was smooth. So it just felt good on my head. Oh my God. I'm like, why did I go through this? Why did I go 10 years or how many years with them nasty ass blades probably giving me tetanus or needing a tetanus shot? I put them blades on there. Cut my hair. I was like, oh my God. Literally takes me 2 minutes now. Cut my hair, literally 2 minutes. To the point to where I know that I've already cut it all off and I'm just massaging my hair because it feels good. And I'm just massaging it and calling myself, making sure I get everything. I'm just like massaging it and it just feels good. So, but I still got those clippers. They still good. You know, they still feel good in my hand, nice weight to them. The motor seems to do what it's supposed to do. Put them new blades on there. Them new $11 blades that I should have done a long time ago. Oh, I love it. I love every single bit of it. I do. I enjoy it so much. I enjoy it so, so much. I really do enjoy being Jeffrey. I truly, 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 truly enjoy being Jeffrey. And the things that are around Jeffrey. It's not that I love Jeffrey. I love being Jeffrey. I love what I've become. And I don't think there's anything greater or better in the universe than a human being, an aware consciousness becoming what it always wanted to be, the person or thing that it wants to be. I don't think there's nothing greater than that. No God, no ideology. I was going to say that could even be higher than life itself. Well, it probably is to the individual. It could be to the individual. But to extinguish life, that is the, to extinguish this run of life, this strain, or whatever we are, this aspect or this version of life that we're experiencing here in the Southern Earth ecosystem, to extinguish that is probably the ultimate, it is the ultimate tragedy for life and for humans and for us. Now, I'm not talking about extinguishing human life. I'm talking about extinguishing all life. And it's probably impossible to eradicate all form or all instances or traces of life. It's probably impossible to eliminate all traces of life because we've become so diverse and are able to survive in different places and different things and different that, that even if a meteorite was to come and smash in the earth and to basically obliterate all the large scale life, there'd probably be something on the microscopic level that would survive. Because they think there may even be microbes or something as such that could survive space and stuff that could survive being dormant and dead for thousands of years and then be revived, or, you know, there's things going on. That's why I believe, I was thinking about the human eye. I was like, how did the eye evolve? In fact, I meant to Google that. I'm going to Google, how did the eye evolve? You know, because it's complex, you know. How did we get to, the, you know, this, let alone the brain and everything else, how did the eye evolve? And my saying behind all that is that this process or mechanism started before the Big Bang. It's either, I definitely acknowledge that I may not truly understand and fully appreciate the scope of what 14 billion years is. 14 billion years is how long they believe this universe has been around from the Big Bang. They take the rate at which the universe is expanding and reverse it and set a model to see back how far it would have to be before everything was like at one spot. They call it singularity. And they estimate around 13.8, 13.6 billion years, about 14 billion years. And I think sometimes that life is so complicated and intricate that it probably had to take longer than that to evolve what we have here. What we, not what we become here now with, you know, like internet and all this stuff. I'm just talking about the first microscopic thing of life and first cell, first trilobite, the first this, first that. You know, the next thing you know, you got eyes and ears and you know how all that works. I'm thinking that process or there's a mechanism or something that more likely had to start before the Big Bang. Is that the sun behind me? It is. Look at that. See? Kind of cool, huh? I'm thinking something. That whole process or something that indicates that helps that process probably had to start before the Big Bang. And if we did come from a singularity, that something survived that singularity, it may be a process of energy, some kind of tendency or some kind of something that was brought into this universe to aid in the evolution that we experience, because this shit is like super complicated. This stuff is massively complicated. And for it to happen in 14 billion years, again, Maybe I don't understand just how long 14 billion years is. But if you go my way and you go from multi billions and billions of universes over trillions and trillions of years, it gives yourself, you give the time and room and possibility for anything to evolve. If you can give yourself that, you'll be, you know, it, these things can happen because time basically be infinite. Be time and opportunity be infinite. And that way things can happen. Because how did we evolve an eye? Eyes are complicated. You know, how did that happen? Something obviously became sensitive to the sun. And then through evolution, a process that this developed from that, that developed from this. And then, oh my God. Unless at different levels of life, evolution can happen faster. Maybe like in fruit flies, evolution can happen in years because the turnover rate of generations could be like maybe like a day or so. I'm just saying, say there may be an organism that, you know, lives and dies and evolves in a day or in a short span to where evolution can happen very, very quickly in comparison. You know, to us, where we're living 80 years. And then maybe 80 years, think about it. Like I said, maybe 80 years, our lifespan is nothing. And I know it is nothing compared to the billions and millions of years. And I get so used to hearing billions and millions and light years and thinking in astronomical numbers that I start to take for granted maybe and don't really appreciate the size and scale that the hell I'm talking about. And every now and then you'll see a little reel or something on Facebook to explain the size of the universe or how long it is, as if you know, the universe is this billion years old. If you were to travel 80,000 miles an hour, blah, blah, it would take you 18.9 billion years. You know, because think about it, speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. You know, we hear that all my life. We kind of just take it for granted. But to actually think about it, 186,000 miles per second. A light year is the distance light travels in 1 year. That's how they measure. And there are objects that we can see that are millions, maybe billions of light years away from us. So, and then once you start to think you understand that concept and think you realize what that means, I still probably am not grasping the size and how of the number and what's really going on. Even though I can kind of picture it in my mind, I probably don't understand the full gravity of these size, times, and distances. So, but I still look at the complexity of the eye and the complexity of life and how to get here and how much time it may or may not have taken. Through trial and error of evolution. I think I even read someplace where DNA gets hints. DNA can get hints from externally. The DNA in us, each cell has a strand of DNA in it or DNA helix. It tells what each cell's gonna be. I need to research that more and really get that down again. I need to go back and research again. You know, but the understanding I have now, every so often, you know, I'll get, you know, an inkling to, you know, revisit a topic. Maybe I need to research DNA and how the prevailing idea of how this DNA evolved from RNA, ribonucleic acid. I studied all that stuff. Idea of strands and, you know, A, B, C, D, F. Nucleotides, I'm just guessing now, something. I know a little bit of something about it. I think I got the basic concept, but I want to drill down the concept and see how they believe it fits and how they believe it works. Or, you know, their hypothesis or, you know, the latest theory. Theory being the latest, greatest, our best guess. That's all it is, our best guess. Scientific method. Anyway, swinging on y'all. I could have took the day off. I really could have took the day off. But I'm gonna do it. It's a beautiful day. I mean, look at it, for crying out loud. It's a nice day. I don't know how much you can see, but it's a nice day. I'm out here getting my sweat on, getting my walk on. This scale told me 212.4 today. I think I was 212.6 yesterday. I came home. I had a bigger meal than I usually do. No doubt about it. I had a bigger meal. No two ways around that. Had a couple pieces of Cleo Leo chicken, my chips, and a salad. And after that, I got up and ate a couple bowls of marshmallows and some sprinkles that I had left over from the gingerbread house. This is that I never made, but ate the gingerbread of. Then I got up and I got two bowls. I got one bowl, ate it. I was like, shit, this is good. Come back, got another one. So, that's how that goes. That's how that goes. So I was thinking about my mother, and, you know, going through stuff with her during this time of her life, and handling that, and taking care of her. You know, trying to keep her comfortable and being there for her as much as possible, because we all gonna have to go through it. We're all gonna go through it. We're all gonna go through it differently. I don't know how I'm gonna be when it comes to that time where I get to a point. I'm not saying my mother is or not, but when I get to a point that where you're thinking to yourself, why am I still living? What's the point of me waking up every morning? I mean, and for me, I think a part of it is that I've done just about everything I want to do. I've been here, done that, accomplished that, been there, did this, had that experience. You know, so I'm cool. That's what I think now. But when it comes time, and you know, when you get close to that time where, you know, get close to the end of your life and you can almost, you have to acknowledge it for whatever reason, will I be ready? How will it hit me? How will I respond? You don't know. You never know. So we'll just have to see when the time comes. So I don't judge. I ask questions, but I don't judge. So we'll see. So anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for Funk. For every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or in any universe that ever was, is, and will be. Totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.